Tony D on the third shift.
It's Tony D with you
on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com.
It's Tony D here on the Nighttime on Yahoo Sports Radio. Thanks for joining us. All right, let's go around Major League Baseball with a couple of good storylines from MLB. Mike Oz joins us from Yahoo Sports as we talk some baseball. How are you, Mike?
Hey, I'm doing okay.
All right, I want to start with the Washington Nationals. They're 14-4. And Dusty Baker as a manager, are you sensing, Mike, that there's something different in a looser clubhouse, having more fun, however you want to put it? The vibe from the Nationals under Baker than Matt Williams, is there a noticeable difference?
I mean, the results seem to indicate such. I think we can't say that Dusty Baker is the only thing that's changed. I mean, obviously, you know, they went through some stuff last year, and I mean, we can also say, you know, that they've been through that. They're a little stronger, maybe. But I think the big thing that I look at it is, you know, they don't have the expectations they had last year. Last year it was, if they win the World Series, that's pretty much the only acceptable result. Anything less than that would be a failure. And, you know, they don't really have those stakes this year. And I think having Dusty Baker probably makes that a little easier to deal with. Like you said, makes it a little loose. But, I think what they're up against probably helps some in that too. You know, it seems like Dusty's the guy who can kind of, you know, maybe help them get through these types of things. Obviously, Matt Williams doesn't really have the just the contextual like career of a manager to kind of say, hey, you know, when this happened to me before, this is what we did. I mean, Dusty, whether you like him or you're not, I mean, he's been around. He knows, you know, how to win. But I think one thing, he also knows how to lose. I mean, he's managed some disappointing teams. So, that might be a perspective that he has to offer. Like, hey, you know, I'm in the same place you guys are in the sense that I've managed many teams that were supposed to go all the way and they didn't. So maybe they relate to each other kind of, you know, on that level.
And looking, I mean, look, we're early in the season, but there is some sort of fingerprints on having a very good season that the Nationals are displaying. When you look at the Mets, do you expect the Mets to be in this horse race, or are they just going to come up short against a team that's playing pretty good and looks like they'll have a great season?
I expect the Mets to be there. You know, I think that even though they haven't been as good as we all expected out of the gate, I mean, they're still doing pretty well. I mean, you know, they're 11-7. They're not one of the, big disappointments so far. You know, Matt Harvey obviously hasn't been the Matt Harvey that people have expected, but, you know, they've been doing well in spite of that. And if he turns it around, I think all of a sudden you're talking about a Mets team that's, you know, much different. I think obviously that the Nats are proving that they're going to be a team that's in it like we expected them to be last year. So I think that race is going to be interesting. But, you know, the Mets have, as much as Harvey has struggled, I mean, they are still pitching well. I mean, they have a sub-3 ERA as a team, which is very good. I mean, fourth in the league, so they're not doing horribly. They're just not kind of keeping up with the Nats, which, you know, the Nats are the best pitching team right now. So in context, you know, that's not that bad.
I want to talk about Jake Arrieta, because not only with the no-hitter, but now all of a sudden these eye-popping stats over his last, like, 16 games, and the ERA is under 1. And when you look at the historical context of what he's doing, how do you guys who follow this sport every day sort of put your mind around what he's been accomplishing? Because to me, it's like this is like Twilight Zone stuff.
Yeah, I mean, he's been on a roll, you know. He's been Kershaw-esque in some ways, in the sense of you can trot out all these different numbers and all these stats and, you know, all these things, and each one is kind of more amazing than the next, you know, like, did you know this? Did you know that? Did you know this? And
yeah.
I mean, just you can look at this year's numbers, or you can say, like, you know, I saw the stats this week of, you know, in between his last no-hitter and this one, like, you know, what the ERA was, I don't remember what it is, but it was something incredible, and you're like, oh my God, this guy's so great. So, you know, it's kind of that thing, which I mean, I love it. I love to see sort of those, you know, just the whole narrative of this, how great this guy's been. Plus his own story is wonderful. You know, I think that the fact that he is doing this, having, you know, had a past where he was pretty much thrown away as a failure, but he came back and you know, has kind of reinvented himself and found himself and become this guy. I think that might make it even more, from a story standpoint, better than, you know, Clayton Kershaw, who just kind of, you know, had all these expectations and then just delivered on all of them, or, you know, some of the other guys that, that were expected to be good and were good. I mean, Arrieta was expected to be good. Did not play well for the Orioles. They essentially gave him to the Cubs for nothing. And look what he's become. So I think that, to me, that's probably the coolest part of it.
The Houston Astros are not in first place. They are in last place, but it is early, and they can still catch back into this. But you, what is wrong with the Astros? What is noticeably different?
I don't know what's weird to me about the Astros, and I saw this today because Cody Rasmus won Player of the Week again. They've had the Player of the Week the last 3 weeks, yet it's not translating into wins for them. You know, like, some of their players are playing well. It's not like they're... You know, it's not like Carlos Correa just sucks all of a sudden, or some of these guys are horrible. The Astros, I mean, they're playing okay. So to me, like, when I see those kind of things, you know, I start to think, well, you know, maybe part of it is just that luck isn't on your side right now. And, you know, things are going to take a turn in their direction eventually. I'm definitely not out on the Astros. You know, I expected big things from them, like a lot of people.
I have this fascination with Bryce Harper, not just as a baseball player, but as a marketing entity for a league that is trying to reach a new generation. In terms of what they could use Bryce Harper for, is what level of importance is he and his success this season for where baseball wants to go with a youthful generation?
I think he is probably as important as you can imagine him to be. I mean, he's the guy, right? You know, there was that story this year in ESPN, that New England magazine, about him and Mike Trout. And, you know, it said that Mike Trout has as much personality as a play of sand or whatever it was. And, I mean, those are the two guys right now, you know. And Machado, you know, he's almost there. And there's a couple other guys in the conversation. But if we're talking about marketing the game, and it's Bryce and it's Trout, I mean, Bryce Harper is the one who's going to have to carry that flag, you know. He's the most interesting guy. He is... not only interesting on the field, he's interesting off the field. He has a certain flair about him. You know, he has a certain kind of the public, like whatever that thing is that the public seems to love, like Bryce Harper had. You know, I was writing something about him today because he was on his day off after a 16-inning game. He was at the Smithsonian, of all places, at the Natural History Museum, and he took a selfie with a kid behind him in a Harper jersey, and the kid just turned around and, you know, it was just like sort of a, you know, it's a 2016 silly moment. But I mean, like, okay, here's Bryce Harper at the museum, you know, taking a selfie of himself and in his glasses. And I mean, he just kind of has like that thing, and you're like, oh, that's nice. Yeah, that's cool, Bryce Harper, you did that. But I started thinking about, you know, all the things that Bryce Harper could be. And it's like, you know, it's kind of surprising that Bryce Harper isn't dating like some, you know, celebrity at this point, or like famous singer or something. Like, and I'm like, you can totally see that. You can totally see him kind of being that guy to get swept up and all that stuff. And then I started imagining that world, you know, like what is the Bryce Harper megastar going to look like when he kind of cracks through, you know, into the mainstream and kind of has that, you know, kind of Us Weekly quality about him of Bryce Harper's dating this person. And I feel like he totally can do it. Like, he has all the sort of everything that goes into being that kind of celebrity. So I think it's going to happen. You know, I think that he has proven himself to be a pretty committed baseball player, so I don't think we're going to see him necessarily go out and, you know, become a lagger on the field because of that. I mean, maybe it's something that happens in the offseason, but I do feel like he has sort of that star potential that kind of breaks through into these other areas, and I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, at some point he's, you know, dating a, not a Kardashian, but I mean, you know, some sort of celebrity like that.
Mike Osigan, Yahoo Sports and Major League Baseball. Fascinating stuff. Thank you so much for your time tonight.
Appreciate it. Take care.
Yeah, and I saw that picture of Bryce Harper where he had the kid and he was behind him and he was wearing glasses. It's really, it's like, cute is like too simplified. It's really cool. Like,
yeah.
He is what you want in a superstar athlete for promotional purposes. You know, like, he's fantastic on the field, but he does have this characteristic. He does have this personality that is just promotional gold for Major League Baseball. He wants the game to be fun. He's outspoken. He seems like he's having a great time. He's 22 years old. He's becoming the face of the game. And Major League Baseball better continue to jump on this kid in terms of promotional, because on the field, he'll do everything you want from him. Tony D, Yahoo Sports Radio.